This afternoon, we are down to the fourth and last installment of our series called Past Perfect. Let me just say something for a while. If you would look at your Bible, remember your Bible is divided into two parts. The first part is the Old Testament, and the second one is the New Testament. May nagsabi dito heaven at saka hell. Hindi po. Old Testament and New Testament. This series basically revolves around the idea that there are things that has transpired in the past, okay, in the Old Testament part of your Bible that basically points and directs us to the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. Are folks with me? In fact, the premise of this series basically says something like this. The New Testament basically is enfolded. The New Testament is enfolded. Okay, it is enfolded in the what? In the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is what? Unfolded in the New Testament. Are folks catching that? Augustine said, the new is in the what? The new is in the old contained. The old is by the new explained. To further explain what this series is about. Okay, who among you here? You're at times you're amazed with your shadow, right? Remember, if there's a light right here, you have a shadow on your, okay, you have a shadow on your left. This basically revolves around the idea in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, and also in the book of Colossians, it says here, the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. Meaning to say, the things that transpired in the past were basically just a foreshadowing, okay, of the real thing that has been perfected in the person of Jesus Christ. If you know what a shadow is not the real thing. A shadow just basically directs you to something real. And another thing about shadow is that whenever you look at a shadow, to some degree, it misrepresents the real thing. It is out of proportion, right? So basically, it's not the real representation, but it basically represents, okay, the real thing. When we started off this series, we started off by saying that Jesus is the what? Jesus is the Lamb of God. You folks remember that? Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's how we started off this series. And when we were looking at Jesus as the Lamb of God, if you remember, there was one question that we threw, okay, to everyone at the end of that preaching 3 Sundays ago. We said, if a Jewish person, if an Israelite man, an Israelite family man, didn't put what? Didn't put blood on his doorpost, and that the spirit of death came, remember, in the land of Egypt during the Passover, could it be possible for his firstborn son to die? The answer there basically is an absolute yes. Because we said at the end of the day, it's not about their lineage, it's not about them being Jew or them attending church or whatever. At the end of the day, it's about the blood of the Lamb. You folks remember that. And a week after that, you know, Patrick shared a powerful preaching about Jesus being the high priest. Okay, he looked at the intricacy of the tabernacle. Am I right, Patrick? He looked at the intricacy of the tabernacle, and basically it points you to the intricacy of God's work, okay, that has been perfected in the new covenant, in the person of Jesus Christ. And last week, we've talked about the third one, which is Jesus being a what? A suffering servant. This afternoon, we go to the last one, and this is pretty interesting because we're going to look at Jesus here as the what? As the last Adam. Can I ask everyone to turn your Bibles with me for a while to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 18 down to verse 21. It says here, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Then it says here, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Last verse. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Just to lay the groundwork for all of us here this afternoon, for us to have a good comprehension and an understanding of what we are talking about here, it would be good for all of us to understand this fact first. I want us to understand that in the book of Genesis, in your Bible, there's a guy there, the first person in the Bible. His name is Adam. Now, I want you to understand that guy kay that guy in your Bible, Adam, right here, Adam is a what? It is a type of Jesus. Hindi po ibig sabihin niya na type ni Jesus si Adam. Okay? What does it mean? Okay, whenever we talk about type, okay, Adam is a type of Jesus. What do you mean when you say type? What do you mean when you say type? A type basically is this one. A type is a person or event or ceremony that is recorded to foreshadow some future person or event or ceremony. You folks catch that? There might be something that's going on here that is just a representation of what's going to happen down the road. So Adam, in your Bible, whenever you open your Bible, you read Genesis chapter 1, you read the creation, Genesis chapter 2, remember the creation of Adam. Whenever you read that, I want you to put in mind that this is the first Adam. Okay, this person is just a type of Jesus Christ. Alright, now having said that, I have here two pictures of these two guys right here. The one on your left is Adam, and the one here is the passport picture of Jesus. The one on your left is what? He is the first Adam. Catch that. He's Adam. The one on your right is the last Adam. For the benefit of our discussion here this afternoon, it would be good for you to really understand that. Don't mix them up. Okay, this is the last Adam, that's the first Adam. Don't say that Jesus is the first Adam. No. Okay, because baka, minsan kasi may mga taong pilosopo, ah hindi, dapat first Adam si Jesus kasi siya yung creator. Hindi po. Siya po yung first Adam. Pangalan niya Jesus, siya Adam. Okay? First Adam, last Adam. Am I clear on that one? Alright, now. Having said that, let me just start this off by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And this is pretty interesting. It says here, thus it is written, the first man, pertaining to the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Are folks catching that? Now, I want us to fix our eyes on the word became. Can everybody say that word before a while? Became. I need us to understand this. Whenever there is a becoming, there's always a transition from something. Right? Before you become a Christian, you remember your picture? It's, you know, it's kind of okay, but now that you are a Christian, you became more good looking. I mean, that's a fact. The glory of the Lord is in you. You know? I mean, you notice that in your album? Remember when you were in high school? Whenever there is a becoming, there's always a transition into something. Whenever you say become or becoming, it's basically coming from or turning into. Just like, you know, a larva would basically become a butterfly. I don't have to basically explain it because that's simple. Okay, that's basically, you know, logic for all of us. Why do I have to include that? If you look at the first part of that verse right there, talking about Adam, it says here, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Here's a question for all of us. Who was Adam? Okay, who was the first Adam right here? I want us to understand that this man right here basically is the parent of all the human race. This is not your parent right now, your biological parents. This is even your parents' parent, not your lolo, their parent. Basically, everything started, the human race started with this man right here. Are you folks catching that? That is basically how it's recorded in your Bible. You're not your ninuno, your descendants. Your ninuno are not Homo erectus or Homo sapiens. They're not one single cell organism. This is your parent right here. Okay? It is fundamentally important for us to embrace the fact that we were created by God from dust. Because it puts us in a position of humility that basically everything that I am right now is because of God. Everything that I am right now basically is because of God. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God breathed to us the breath of life. God breathed to us the breath of life. That's basically how it happened. Now, if you come to understand this, I want you to look into this for a while. How were we created? Or how was Adam created? Adam was not created. He wasn't formed from the ground. God basically yelled at him, wake up. It wasn't like that. Are folks catching this? He wasn't formed from the ground and then God tickled him. Para magising, kinilito yung paa niya. Hindi po ganun. Hindi po siya binuhusan ng ice water. Hindi po. The Bible says, God formed him and God what? Breathed to him the breath of life. And that is basically very, very important. That's something that basically we have to understand. So the equation for all of us basically is like this. Dust plus breath of life equals man. Dust plus breath of life, the breath of life. And we're going to talk about that a little in a while. And consequently, if you look at that, man minus the breath of life equals dust. Man without the breath of life of God, we're basically dead. That's why we're aging. That's why we're decaying. That's why you have a lot of those poor minimizer, ageless cream, and all of those things. Why? Because we need to counter the physiological effect of our aging. At the end of the day, haven't you noticed that? Logic will tell us you start at 1 year old or 0 year old, 1 month, up until like you're 82 years old. At the end of that, the moment you die, you're basically dust once again. And we basically have, 85 years to make this life count. And to do big decisions while we are still in our body right now. It says here, thus is it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And that is basically where, our discussion will revolve here this afternoon. He became a living being. If you look at the word, living being, if you try to dissect that, it's basically coming from the Greek word zao. If you try to look into the word zao right there, you would come to understand that this word basically has two facets. Okay? For example, let me just try to illustrate this for a while or explain this. There are words in your Bible that basically represents two meanings. The Greek word zao basically has two facets. Here's the first one. The first one is this. Zao basically means to live, breathe, and be among the living, not lifeless, not dead. Simple. Question. Is the person beside you living and breathing? They're not lifeless, right? Is a dog living and breathing? Yes. Is a cow living and breathing? Yes. Is a grasshopper living and breathing? Okay, good. Now, basically, that puts us on the same plane together with the rest of the animal kingdom. Are folks catching that? That is one facet of Zao. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Now, the second facet of that word is where it gets interesting. And I need you to catch this. The second facet of that doesn't apply to everyone. The second facet doesn't apply to the animal kingdom. It only applies to us. The second facet of the meaning of that word gives us a good or a clear-cut and precise picture that we are different from animals. And it is this meaning right here. Zao could actually mean to have a true life that is worthy of the name, to be actively blessed and favored. So ladies and gentlemen, this text actually, or this word right here, is now telling me that there is a big difference between living and having a life. And I want you to understand this. God's original intent for you is not just for you to live and then to die. God wants you to enjoy your life right now. He turned Adam. Adam became a living being. And it's talking about this one, to have a true life that is worthy of the name. You know what it means? It gives us a picture that back in the Garden of Eden, this is what worthy of the name basically means. In the Garden of Eden, it was very clear to God. It was very clear to God. He would look at the grasshopper. He would look at the cow. And he could tell the cow and the grasshopper and all of this, you can have all the grass that you want. But if your name is Adam and you are a man, you are worthy of your name. You have my full attention. What better state could we be at other than the very presence of God? I don't know with you, friends, but there are times when you're having your quiet moments with God. You're having your devotions with God and you feel like, man, Lord, I don't want to get off my seat because this is just so amazing. Remember the moments when you're reading your Bible and God was just speaking to you directly. Guess what? In the Garden of Eden, that happens 24 hours, 7 days a week. God and Adam were having deep communion. I mean, it was just so deep. The rest of the animals, basically, they don't have that kind of relationship with God. God was like, if you remember, God gave Adam a mandate. Remember that? To what? To go and what? To go and multiply. Remember the text right there? We were asked by God to be fruitful and multiply. And that is actually true. The reason why the Egyptian people became so insecure with the Israelites is that they were multiplying. There was just a lot of them. They were catching attention. Another thing was that God would tell Adam to what? To take dominion. The first Adam was asked by God to take dominion. God was like looking at Adam and God was like saying, go ahead and cultivate the land, then I am going to cultivate your life. It's short of saying that as you advance my kingdom, I will orchestrate things to fall right in place for you. That is basically the mandate of God to Adam. And it could have been one of the best stories ever. But I don't know with you, but every time there's a wonderful start, sometimes there's always a tragedy. Hello? You know what happened, friends? One single fruit, one single disobedience. Perhaps this event in that part of your Bible could actually be the most tragic event in all of human history. They disobeyed God. And disobeying God, it basically has its consequence. The consequence was that they were what? Genesis chapter 3 verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He was banished outside of the garden, outside of the presence of God. Look at this one. If I would be talking right here, remember, I have this teacher back in college. Some of you, this guy. He's a physics teacher. And he would tell, I remember one time he was in our class, he said, all right, class, define infinity. You remember your classmates were running? You know those guys, running? Mga running kamot. Sir, so they cannot define what infinity is. What he did was that he took a chalk, started drawing a line here at the end of the chalkboard on the left, and brought it all the way to the right side of the chalkboard. After the chalkboard, he went to the wall and he went outside of the classroom and he never came back. That was a Tuesday. He came back on Thursday. He said, class, that is infinity. In the garden, everything was provided. Here's basically what it means. When he was sent out of the garden, he basically what? His relationship with God was cut off. He totally lost everything, basically. Here, he's like Edon. Here, he needs to toil the ground to work and to be able to feed himself. Perhaps the greatest tragedy that could ever happen into our life is for us to live our life apart from the presence of God. That is why you would notice it in your Bible. You start off with people in the Bible, their age would be like 900 years, 800 years. And right now our age is like 80 or something. I just had a friend who died at 37 years old. It keeps dwindling down. Why? Because you're living now a life apart from the presence of God. Are folks catching this? Adam now started to live a life outside of the presence of God. There are basically two things that I want us to understand here. I want to spend a lot of time on the first one. I want you to catch this. The last Adam restored what the first Adam lost. The last Adam, was the last Adam again? The last Adam, who is Jesus, basically restored what the first Adam lost just by saying this. I want you to understand this. God is a restorer. You might be coming here and you've lost, you know, quite an amount of time, you know, because of this thing, because of that thing. I tell you what, God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And God is going to do that in our very life here this afternoon as we begin to understand this passage right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, one trespass led to the condemnation of all men. When I was a new Christian, I keep thinking about this. Why in the world do I have to suffer for his mistake? Have you ever thought about that? Kasalanan mo yan. Pangalan ko Archie, ikaw Adam. But I want you to understand this. Adam is the covenantal head of the entire human race. Meaning to say, his mistake is your mistake. His sin back in the garden is your sin. Who among you, you were born inside the Garden of Eden? None of us were born inside the Garden of Eden. Only Adam was. When he was brought out of the garden, meaning to say, we are now a group of people who doesn't even have an idea of what the garden is like. He had a son called Seth, and the Bible says Seth was basically formed in the image of his dad. Not now in the image of God, in the image of his dad. And we're part of those descendants. That's why I'm telling you, this is a tragedy if you read your Bible. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. The word trespass here is from the Greek word paraptoma, which simply means deviation from the truth. That's basically what the first Adam did. He deviated from the truth. Friends, I want you to understand this. It's very important. Truth is always absolute. Truth is always 100%. I need you to catch this. If there are circumstances in your life, you're experiencing something right now that is trying to negate the truth. Here's my question. Does that make the truth less of a truth? Of course not. Why? Because truth is absolute. We start making mistakes if we are holding fast on the truth and we deviate from it and embrace lies as our own truth. The issue here is not about the buffet or the fruit that they ate. It's not about the food. It's about the truth that you have deviated, the truth of God's word. And I tell you what, if you're here and you're a Christian, you deviate from the truth, I tell you what, that could be a sad story for you. I hope you don't just embrace the fact that God is a restorer anyway. No. My prayer is that we will be people who always be fast, will always fasten ourselves with the truth. Then it says here, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Can everybody say all? Does that include you and me? Now look at this one. This is quite interesting because last night while I was studying this, I realized that the Greek word for all right here is the Greek word pasa. Nothing theological here. I just realized, okay, pinasa niya nga sa akin. Yung kasalanan niya, pinasya niya sa'yo. He basically gave his sin to all of us. Meaning to say, the moment you are born, guess what? Your first inheritance is not monetary. Your first inheritance is sin. That's the first thing that we wake up to in this world. The fact that we are sinners because of Adam. One deviation from the truth sentenced all of us to condemnation. The guilt of Adam's sin was imputed to all of us. Let me just try to explain this for a while. If that is what the first Adam did, who am I here are actually glad that there is a last Adam? Can you imagine this world? Can you imagine your life right now? You're just living your life according to what the first Adam did. I am comforted with the fact that we worship the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, what did the last Adam do about the situation? In a nutshell, he did control Z. As one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Look at this one. So now, okay, look at this verse. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. One mistake, tinamaan ako. Now here it is. One act of righteousness by the last Adam. Now I am justified and I am given life. Whenever you talk about imputation right here, you know what imputation is? You know that you cut hands. That's called amputation. It's not imputation. I want us to look at this picture right here. This is basically what it means whenever we talk about imputation. Adam's sin right there was imputed to all of us. All of our sins together with that guy right there has been imputed on Jesus Christ. And his righteousness has been imputed to us. Well, we appreciate the last Adam. That is basically what happened there. Going back to the verse, it says here, justification and life. Justification and life. We've spent 3 weeks, I think, talking about this one. You are a justified person. It's very simple, friends. By virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, you are a righteous man. By virtue of what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, that's what God is looking at whenever he looks at you right now. You have the righteousness of the last Adam. But I'm just so glad it didn't stop there. It didn't just talk about me being what? Being justified. It says here, I have life. Justification and life, it says there in verse 18. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Does this sound familiar? This leads us back to the first verse that we've read a while ago. Look at this on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a what? He became a life-giving spirit. You would give life to someone because they are dead. The reason why the last Adam is a life giver now is because we are dead in our trespasses. Spiritually saying, we are all spiritually dead. Why would Adam be a life giver? Very quickly, remember the word Zao again. In the garden, this is what we have. First one, breathe in, breathe out. Inhale, exhale. Perfect. Not just that one, I am also actively blessed. I can talk to God. I can perceive the things of God. I can have communion with God. That is our life. Guess what? The moment we ate of that fruit, the moment we sinned, we lost the second one. Then we just started walking and just living just like everybody else. The mission of the last Adam is to restore what the first Adam actually lost, which is the second one. To bring back our communion with God. To bring back, basically, the breath of life. Whenever you talk about the breath of life, you're talking about the Spirit of God that should basically live in us. If you read your Bible, there's a story in the book of Ezekiel that talks about the power of God as a life giver. Look at this one. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3 to 6. It says here, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? He said. And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It says here, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall what? And you shall live. I want you to understand this. You are worshiping a God who can basically breathe the breath of life to the people out there. If you're here this afternoon and you are drier than a dried up bones, guess what? That could end here this very afternoon. Do not underestimate the power of God to bring the river of His presence into your life. This is basically the God that we worship. The second thing that I want us to understand as we end here this afternoon is this one. The last Adam offers eternal life as the first Adam brought in death. In Jesus, basically, you find eternal life. What in the world is eternal life? Just like what it says, eternal. At the end of the day, friends, at the end of the day, it's either, if this is the garden right here, if you keep siding yourself with the first Adam, then guess what? That is having a life for all eternity. Up until you die, apart from the presence of God. You folks catch that? And that is the work of the devil. That is the work of the evil one. On the contrary, the last Adam is offering us something else. And the last Adam is basically restoring us to a brand new relationship with God for all eternity. You're going to have a deep communion with Him. You're going to talk to Him for the rest of your life. That is basically what it means. And the last Adam is the one offering that to all of us. Chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. A few more things. Then we're going to end with a prayer. It's very simple. Look at this one. Death came when sin entered. Folks, catch up. It's a formula that you could actually get in the Bible. Whenever there is sin, there is what? There's death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So at the end of it, all of us would basically die because of our sins. Now, I want you to catch this. The difference between the reason why I, Archie, can trust the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is this one. The first Adam, just like you and me, sinned and died. After that, they would remain to be dead. This last Adam right here, the difference with him is this one. The equation does not apply to him. Why? Because he lived a sinless life. So meaning to say, sin equals death, doesn't apply to me. He died on the cross, got buried for 3 days after there's something that happened to him. Something happened to him, friends. Death cannot take a good hold of him because sin cannot be found in him. That's why he resurrected from the grave. This formula, this principle does not apply to me. Now, you trust me with your life, I give you eternal life. It's as simple as it could get. John chapter 10, verse 10 would begin to say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus shifted gear and says, me, the last Adam, will not steal from you or kill you or destroy you. I am here to give you what? I'm here to give you life and have it abundantly. This is the Adam that I worship. This is the Jesus that I worship. I want to end this with this text right here. I just want to go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Two more verses and we're going to end. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. I want us to look at the words all men for a while. Do you think all men includes you and me? Guess what, friends? On the first part of this text right here, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, that includes all of us, including the people out there. I want you to catch this. The second part right here, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Guess what, friends? Truth of the matter, that is not universal. It is not universal. Let me just try to explain this by going to verse 17 of this exact text. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive, all men right there, pertains to those who receive the free gift of salvation. Jesus is offering the free gift of salvation. You are part of the all men if you receive it. You are part of the all men if you receive it.